The life of an NFL cheerleader looks extremely fun and glamorous, but the actual realities of the job are problematic to say the least. Here are a few reasons why life in a football cheer squad is anything but charm.
They intimidate you into silence, but I mean, you want to be a cheerleader. It's the best job in the world.
Professional sports are incredibly cutthroat. The talent pool for NFL cheerleaders is just as vast as it is for players, and getting selected is just as competitive.
We work so hard for years just for one audition.
As of 2018, Sportster reported that only 26 of the league's 32 teams had cheerleading squads, and for those precious few positions, hundreds of women in each team's metropolitan area audition, according to GQ.
I can tell in 5 or 10 seconds if somebody is right for the job on their jazz walk.
Great. Former Pats cheerleader Patty Dara told Global News, the New England Patriots get more than 500 women who try out for the team every year, and they're all good. They want the best of the best, which means the best dancers, but also the best representatives.
They're not even paid for quite a bit of the work that they do.
Beginning in 2014, the LA Times reported that several NFL cheerleaders had filed huge lawsuits against their teams and the league, claiming illegal payment practices, such as wage theft. According to Mother Jones, a suit filed by the Oakland Raiderettes claimed cheerleaders raked in just $125 a game, and that's on the high end. According to the outlet, the Cincinnati Bengals were reportedly paid $90 per game, Tampa Bay's cheerleaders earned $100, and the Buffalo Jills got a free game ticket and a parking pass. Just for the record, Bloomberg reported the average per-game salary of an NFL player around that time was almost $200,000.
I used to be a Cincinnati Bengal, but I was paid more being a dancing cupcake than an NFL cheerleader.
Worked out to an hourly wage, cheerleaders were making way below the legal minimum. So how did teams skirt the law? They reportedly classified cheerleaders as independent contractors rather than team employees. After the Raiderettes suit was filed, the Raiders upped cheerleader pay to a barely legal $9 an hour. It took California Governor Jerry Brown to ensure that professional sports cheerleaders in California were guaranteed minimum wage, workers' comp, and basic benefits. While many squad members make around $100 per game, uniforms are reportedly not provided. Instead, they must be purchased by the cheerleaders from their teams. According to NBC News, those skimpy uniforms would cost a Buffalo Bills cheerleader about $650. And if a uniform suffers even the tiniest bit of damage, the luckless lady may have to pony up for a new one. ESPN reported that a Raiderette had to cough up the cash for a replacement uniform after getting an ink stain on her top at an autograph signing event. Cheerleaders are almost universally expected to rock a certain look. But let's be honest, looking like a cheerleader means being conventionally attractive, and for the NFL, that means being thin.
What's most important, definitely nutrition and fitness, and then just don't sleep on the importance of your appearance.
According to a former NFL cheerleader's anonymous account of her job, slim figures are enforced with weigh-ins before games. She told Cosmo, "The first time I weighed in at 127 pounds, the choreographer assured me that it was just gas, but when the scale still showed 127 pounds on game day, I was pulled from the performance." The realities of work were allegedly even worse for the Buffalo Jills, the Buffalo Bills' former cheerleaders. According to the New York Post and Alyssa Yu, a Buffalo Jill from 2012 to 2013, cheerleaders were forced to undergo a so-called physique evaluation. She told HBO Sports,
"You have to perform 10 jumping jacks, and that's what was called the jiggle test, so they could see, you know, if any parts of your body were jiggling."
Former cheer teammate Maria claimed the dehumanizing workplace exercise also had real consequences.
"You failed a jiggle test?"
"I did. I was devastated. I started crying. You're very emotional because that's what you work so hard for, is to cheer at these games."
Not only do cheerleaders have to keep their appearance in company-mandated condition, but some are required to conduct their personal lives just as primly. Deadspin reported that the behaviors the Buffalo Jills were told to follow included: don't use slang, don't swear, don't be overly opinionated, don't flirt, don't dominate conversations, don't gossip, avoid any and all innuendo, and don't burp or sneeze without saying, "excuse me." According to the LA Times, the Oakland Raiderettes signed a contract promising they'd never wear curlers on their way to the stadium or chew gum. And while a large part of an NFL cheerleader's job involves dancing and revealing outfits, some teams prohibit their cheerleaders from doing anything risque on social media. In 2018, New Orleans Saints cheerleader Bailey Davis was fired after posting a privacy-locked photo on Instagram in a flattering one-piece.
"This is a sanctioned photo. Which one do you think shows more skin?"
"I think the one on the left, and they actually picked out that swimsuit for me."
Davis sued the team, which also reportedly tells its cheer squad to not even eat in the same restaurants as its players.
What it's going to take is a team of women that are going to stand up together and say, we're not going to tolerate this any longer.
So welcome back, everybody. You are tuned in to Mind Blowing Decisions, where we talk about life, love, and relationships. I am your host tonight, Nishana. Once again, Mind Blowing Decisions with our co-host, our station manager, Gigi Watson. And tonight we're talking about, are you still booed up? Yeah or no? You know, in this pandemic, and lockdown has slowed everybody's schedule down, right? One or more partners are working from home. That's not usually happening, you know. Can you hear me okay, everybody? And so,
I can hear you.
All right, awesome. I want to make sure we're loud and clear. We're live, tuned in to Radio Land, and so excited that you joined me. Thank you for listening, and thank you for being patient with us. Thank you for being patient with me. We're talking about, are you still booed up? Yeah, no. And is it, you know, because some people are, like, going head-to-head, you know, bumping heads, too much time with each other, too much space. And I know there's a lot of people that's already all the time with each other nonstop that live in a house that's peaceful. So I just wanted to check in with America during this quarantine time and think about, you know, what the Bible says about these times and what the, for those who are Muslim, because this is seen to be the year of the Muslim. The Muslims are really kind of like, you know, getting their word out about who they are and all that kind of stuff. And it's kind of funny because I was looking at the word Quran and quarantine and it kind of ran together. So I thought that was hilarious. Maybe not. But right here, is social distance in order when you find yourself bumping heads with America opening, different sectors opening back up in different places in the world, bars and that serve food is supposed to be able to be open, and bars that are not essential, who does not sell food, should not be open. This is a big argument. So I just wanted to check in with everybody and see how you're doing out here during this lockdown phase of our new existence. And to some, it may be easy breezy, and to some, it may be the worst thing ever. I just want to know how you guys doing. I'm doing okay. How you guys doing?
I'm doing okay, too.
That's what's up. So you have more households, from what I understand, that's doing pretty good, who have, this is probably dreams come true for some people, being able to be with that person, you know, that significant other, but learning each other even that much more and being patient. I think if nothing else comes out of this, you're going to have to be patient with each other. What do you think, G?
Gas right now. Wait, explain the question.
Okay, so like a lot of times, would you think that this would be where they have nowhere to go at all? No matter whether this was before the pandemic or just now starting, people are just learning how to be patient with one another. Do you think so?
Okay.
Do you think people are flying off the handle? They just going to let their temper just go?
Yep, they are flying. Everybody is flying off the handle.
Let's talk about people flying off the handle.
Everybody is flying off the handle. Yes, it is. Yes, they are.
See, that's just the truth about it.
You can't do this. You can't do that. And they want to buy up everything. You need all this. You need all that. Now, that don't make no sense. Because some stuff in the store right there you want to buy. Okay, they all bought all out. Are people like this children and getting arrested for?
Hey,
it's a shame.
Real talk.
And I hope like this, to the whole God, like to clear the virus.
Yeah, because we hope that people,
ridiculous.
Especially the anxiety of it. Like, personally, I do not know anyone or have any contact with anyone or that has been tested positive for any kind of disease. But, you know, other than having flu-like symptoms of just because of the flu season and just going through regular rigor mortis of, you know, just keeping your immune system built up and things of that nature, it's a lot of fear, I believe, that has been produced through this lockdown, this quarantine, because people don't know what to expect or whether they have it or not. And so anxiety began to grow and people begin to panic and lose sight and focus of the things that, you know, they're just different things because now they have new fears. They have
right.
new fears of what's going to happen to me. What's going to happen
right,
to my mother? I know that's one of our concerns is what's going to happen to our mother. We know that our mother,
our mothers, our
yes, elderly.
So our, both
yeah,
our mothers
you know,
are very sick, and they are elderly.
Yeah, you know. Mm-hmm. And so this is important, you know, how people are taking care of one another in this season. Of this new phase of our life where, you know, we are limited to where we can travel to for those who are not first responders. And then those are who are preconditioned, you know, and like you said, people are going off because they're just afraid. And that's what you do when you have unanswered questions. I believe that it's not really so much as it did produce fear. But I believe it's just that we just don't have the proper answers that we need.
Right. Because when my mother
make...
right oh, excuse me. When my mother right there had got out of the hospital, okay, she was right there on chronic arthritis pain. I was very, very worried. I think I called her right there about 2 something in the morning. She didn't like it, but she glad I called and checked on her because right there, I was so worried it gave me a headache.
I can only imagine, you know, being worried about your loved one that's not around where you can get to. It's important that you be able to still be able to reach out and communicate with them in some form or fashion. It's you know, life-saving in most cases for the child and the parent, you know, the absent
right.
one period. Of each other, yeah. So, I really appreciate that. That's really. I think that's wisdom. Is you know, even though it was 2 a.m., you know, we've discussed this before. If the urge hits you to call your loved one, call them. We never know. Nothing is promised to us, and so it's better to say what we need to say now while we have the time. And, you know, and then just be able to not regret it later because we got news because we waited. No more regrets. You know, this that time of life. You learn some patience with people. You reach out and say hi and love. I love you to those that you love, those that you thought about that run across your mind, that just in your thoughts and prayers. Call them, text them, you know, send them a message,
right.
an email, something. Do something kind or say something kind. These are tough times for people. And, you
yes,
know,
it
the
is.
Elderly are afraid. We know that the black minority community, we have our own personal fears. You know, all of us in different sectors and different townships and states and cities all over the world, you know, we was concerned about wearing masks. We know what that looked like for us. You know, the other population may not know that, but we know what that looked like for us. And some of us was concerned about that. And so I'm concerned about I was riding down the street taking care of some business yesterday, and I see the police just got, it's like 4 or 5 police trucks just got this one homeless person or what looks like homeless person in the street, like they just finna just do wop, 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 woo, wop, wop, wop them, you know? And I'm like, oh, my God. You know, you're not messing with anyone else, but yet you're not providing shelter for these people. And I'm concerned about that. I'm concerned about what they're doing for, to the people that you have homeless people and then you have those street homeless people. It's a different kind of person. You know, people have lost hope and people have given up on. Those people need to be, our concern as well. And so instead of mishandling them or misjudging them and, kicking them in the streets and why are they already down, let's find a pathway for those folks and make sure that they have a brighter future, you know, because they are talented and half of them are vets, you know, half of them are scholars and degree, multi-degree, serial degree people, you know, college-educated folk, and they fell off in something or lost something so bad that they couldn't find themselves. And we don't know why anyone is in any state that they are. But we hope that during this time that we learn a little bit more patience in this time where we're in the house with each other, that we learn how to communicate with each other effectively where we're not snapping and biting at each other. We hope that you all are finding time to say those meaningful things because, again, we just never know. No one is promised any second nor tomorrow at that matter. And we just want you all to be in the best place that you could be in mentally, emotionally. We know that there's so many people did not make it today. We know I just lost my pops, you know, this week and this past week, and it's been tough dealing with that.
My condolences to you and your family.
Thank you so very much. And I appreciate all your love and support and all those that have shown their affection and love. And my pops was a good man. He had some issues. He was a vet who had been played on with all kind of plagues. And, you know, they did experiments on people in the service back in certain times. And people came out with post-traumatic stress disorders and weren't diagnosed or treated, and mental illness, you know, how most in the stigma is not looked on in the Black community, what's considered a Black community. You don't do that. We go to Jesus. We go to Buddha. We go to all these different, you know, namastes and all these different religious things. And we never deal with the hardship and the pain that we felt and dealt with during those times or what these chemicals have done to us and how it's changed us and how the our environment, you know, you being the only one come out of your, you know, platoon or your, I don't know the terminology, I won't pretend to know it offhand, but I have several people in my family who served in different branches of the military, armed forces, and so I can say that each one of them, I salute them for just sharing their time. And, you know, they didn't come back as they went. And so I salute vets. I serve vets. I'm just excited to be a servant to people anywhere I am.
My cousin was in the service, but he came back right there on normal. And I'm glad of that.
Well, he may look, and that's great if there's nothing, if he came back as himself, but I'm quite sure the experiences that he had learned over there, the training has changed him in ways you wouldn't know. And, of course, he's going to present himself as the firm, loving cousin that you knew, you know. But there's some scars that no one, you know, will talk about. And so I've been around him, you know, with some different service men and women. Of every branch, to be quite honest, and even down to secret things that don't exist to most common people. But because my mother was in politics at one time, and so we learned different things, and it was, we were grateful for our education outside of school. And we got to see how real people do real interactions and real commerce and different things like that. Now, finding your niche is one thing. Knowing what your gifts and talent is and how it makes room for you is a whole nother thing. And so I'm hoping that you are paired up and you are booed up with the one that means the most to you. Especially in times like this and you're not having such a hardship at home.
And can I say something? Okay, you're right. Mm-hmm. Some people go into a service, some people don't come back normal. Right, because I didn't know this man. He went into the service. He went into the service. And he was normal. Then he came back crazy. He came back like sick crazy, calling people out their names.
It's a very trying time to be. Yeah, you can't go over there into war and see the things that you see and do the things that you do and not be touched. Now, a lot of people are very good at being able to hide it and so on and so on. But you just have to be able to find the help that they need and get them what they need, and they have things in place to help people that are suffering, who are just what they call civilians, who are people who are not of the service, like everyday American people like us. And then, well, we're not, because we're in radio and we are part of a whole nother collaborative group of type of people. And we all serve in being responsible for what type of news and communication that we give out, because we are airbound and not airbound. We're not bound by anything, to be quite honest. We're everywhere, you know, and so we have to be careful what we put out there and make sure we fact check and all that kind of stuff, and make sure we're giving out good radio. Even, you know, even if it's raunchy, it's still better. Whatever you do, do your best, right? You always heard that all your life. So it's like that. But again, these are times where people are in the house with each other. And some people are just like, you know what, I realize that I don't want to spend the rest of my life with you. I realize that this is not what I signed up for. I didn't sign up for you. Now you don't have any makeup on. You know, you're getting your head hit. You know what? I didn't know, you know, that all that was false. And people are realizing different things about different people, right? And not that they have, you know, because, you know, beauty shops and stores and things have been shut down. And, you know, we was on quarantine. So a lot of businesses were shut down for 2 months. And those weaves didn't last. Those lashes didn't last. You know, those gel nails didn't last. Some toenails got a little raggedy, you know, that wax built up, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And so we found out some probably not so pretty things about each other that we probably wouldn't have seen because of usual maintenance of, you know, being polished and put together, you know. I know at one particular time when I was in Vegas a couple of months ago when it first hit, there was no toilet paper on the shelves in various stores. And then when you did find toilet paper at the little 99-cent store that didn't get a lot of business in the first place, we had stock rooms, pile of one-ply tissue. Girl, that stuff was selling out, and they was limited. You'd only be able to get certain many packs. And and I was, you know, so I know people got stories through this, and, you know, there's always an untold story during all of this. I just want to check in with people and see how they're doing. You know, I think I've being away from my husband in this time, it just let me know for sure. I just do not want to be away from him. I love this guy. I think he is a special man for real for me. If no one else love him like that, it's okay. I do, and it's right back. You know, and so sharing my space with him and being with him is just, it is always wonderful because we spend so much time apart. And I think when we were younger, we thought, oh, being away from each other, oh, you know, makes the heart grow fonder. And it does. No joke. It does. Because you grow to appreciate each other. But you grow to a place of maturity that most people don't get in young relationships, where sex is not everything. For young people, sex is everything. And so the whole relationship, and if you ain't seeing to me or you ain't giving me your time, you must be giving it to somebody else. And some people are just focused and driven and, you know, on just living their life, you know, their own personal life. So I said a lot there, but this is radio. This is Mishawn L. And you are tuned in to Mind Blowing Decisions, where we talk about life, love, and relationship. And I'm just excited to be able to say that I still love my husband after 32 plus years. Maybe, I don't know, I can't count, y'all.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And it's wonderful to be able to share different trials with each other and still be able to hang in there another year, you know. We have our knockout, drag out fights just like anyone else. But we get through them.
Mm-hmm.
We talk through them. We love through them. And that's what I appreciate.
Our couple get into it.
You know,
I call mine out his name. Didn't mean to. But he did turn up the TV on me, so I had to go on another.
See, you know, and that's what it is. If you don't want to hear that, you know, but we got to appreciate that, you know, being in, and that's what I'm talking about, sharing space with one another. You know, we have to be able to see where, okay, I ain't got to say nothing to you, but when I turn this TV on, you know it's time to exit and go to the other room because I don't want to hear none of that. You just got to know what to do. Especially in these times. And we have been grown for this already. This is what we, this is radio. This is what we do. Wherever we are in the world, we do radio. We do live radio, and we're so excited to be able to bless you all with our wonderful personalities and our good gifts and talents and spirits of encouragement, you know, words of wisdom, and all the, you know, the love and light that we share with each other and you share with us, and to all the many, many guests that we have had. Oh, my God. Thank you, thank you, thank you for making mind-blowing decisions such a success. I can't tell you that you may not see all the numbers all the time right away, so be encouraged whenever you're doing something and building something that that you've never done before. You don't know what the outcome is going to be, but, hey, keep at it. Keep at it and surround yourself with people. That's good people that mean you well, you know, because sometimes it's gonna come a point you're gonna have to create a separation between you and people that just don't have your same mindset. You have people who want to help folks. You have people who just want to make capital. You got people who just want to dog folk out. You got people who just want the next come up. You got people who chasing the next hit. You got, you know, chasing the next fad. You got people who are chasing different goals because that's the only way they know how to get it. So I wanna take my head off to all the hustlers out there that's still grinding, that's still doing that thing and still sharing and mentoring and helping people. All out there, all out here in Reno land, we love you and Sparks, all the way to Truckee, we love you. We love you in Cali in the Bay Area, we love you, we love you, we love you all the way. In San Francisco, we love you.
Love.
Yeah, we love you in Houston. Oh my God, all through Texas, Dallas, we love you. We love you in Chicago. We love you.
And my hometown, San Francisco, California.
Yes, we said San Francisco, woo woo, all over. We love you. We love you for real, for real.
And Detroit, Michigan.
Oh my goodness, we will never forget anybody in our international. Listeners, we love you. Thank you for our dual citizens
and you know
out
what?
There.
London, and the UK, United States.
All out there. Yes. Thank you. We love you so much. We just shout you out for making mind-blowing decisions a success. We are growing. We are growing. People are finding out about us, and we are doing some phenomenal things, and we're going to take this worldwide and make it that much greater with your help and with your contributions. We just appreciate you. This is Mishawn L., and this is what I do. I do real people, real time. And I'm just so excited to be alive, you know, and to know the things that I know and to be able to come on here every week and share with you all some experiences, so a little knowledge here and there. I was just thinking, I thought about what they're talking about, all these the stimulus and stuff and stimulus three, and I get daily reports, you know, news feed from different sources, and they talk about they talk about the different stimuluses and what should be, and Magic Johnson is what we want to congratulate him and thank him for not just thinking or considering, but making an action, taking action on helping Black minority-owned businesses with his contribution. You can go and look up Magic Johnson and see what that is. I don't know if it's $100 million. I'm not sure the number. But there are several other brothers and sisters who have taken the calls for the minority-owned entrepreneurs and minority people of all minority sectors, even the Hispanics. There are people out there that are devoted into seeing about your well-being, your health. I want you to be proactive about your health. I want you to be proactive about your mindset. Your mental health determines how well your body recovers during times of traumatic experiences, and this is truly a traumatic experience. Some people have never lived, and this is through a state of emergency. They've never seen it where, and if you know Constitution, if you know law, if you know legal things, then you have never seen it where I don't know, I can't say all, but you would never see this many people, living people who have stood up for their rights, not to be taken advantage of or not to be sold for trade as livestock or for chattel or for profit of self-gain. And so many people are standing up, and I applaud us all who have said that I am who I say I am, and I am, and I say today I'm Nishan, and so you are Gigi, and this, and we take our stand, and we, you know, claim all our rights without any prejudices, without any purgatory. We ain't going to hell. We ain't going to jail for nothing else. You know, we, all our sins have been washed away, and we are redeemed, and all of those beautiful things. This is the salvation of this day, you know. And for those who know, follow scripture and follow Revelation and follow Exodus and Genesis and the different Bibles, scriptures, you know, and the Quran. And I don't read the Quran, and I couldn't tell you. I have read different passages that I needed to cross-reference because I'm a Bible student. And so I know Bible, I know literature, I know world literature, I know just different subjects, different lectures and different studies. But the Quran has never been one that I really truly study, so I can't speak on. And so, hey, our airways are open. So if you know a little bit more about the Quran and like to share with us your knowledge about that, and let's see if we can cross-reference some scriptures, you're always welcome to call us. And we are simply, guest call-in number is always the same, 323-642-1569, option one. Please call and speak to us. We'd love to hear from you. We'd like to know what's on your mind.
Yes,
how
we
you
do.
And your partner's doing. We'd like to know you're there. We'd like to know how we are impacting you. And if we are impacting you, and some of the topics that you would like to hear about or talk about, we'd love to have you as our co-host. Please join us. And we are not, even though we are usually a female audience, female panel, we also have co-hosts that are men. And we really welcome them coming in and sharing with us their ideas, their perspectives, their experiences, their knowledge, and their wisdom. We truly would not be who we are as women and emperors and empresses and queens and so on, and kings and so on and so on, and leaders of all kinds, if it hadn't been for the men that are in our lives who hold us up and love us and protect us and care for us and provide for us. So we salute them as well today, because, hey, being booed up doesn't necessarily mean that you land up in the bed. Being booed up is being partnered with people that are good and intentional people who want to see you win, who want to see you succeed. And when you find people that's in your corner, that give you opportunity, they sometimes don't even know why they're in your life, and they don't even know why they're giving you the opportunity. They really don't even, you know, would mess with you in any other circumstances in any other arena in life. But for some reason, they're drawn to you, pulled to you, and then you're connected to them. And you have to nourish those relationships with respect. Whew, that was a mouthful, Gigi. What you think?
I agree everything you say.
Wow. You know, I mean, let's just talk from the heart.
I agree.
Thank you. Thank you. I really mean that. I really mean that. We're not going to spend that all night on the air, even though we could. Mm-hmm. I'm feeling exhilarated. I'm feeling like I'm having fun. And I really actually want to tag some people and tell them, call in and talk to me tonight. How you feel, Gigi? You think we can call up some folks and tell them, get on the air with us tonight for a little bit?
Okay. On Facebook right there, I just like to tag somebody I called, because she told me right there to call her. But she don't be feeling well, so she must not feeling good tonight.
Oh, well, I just, you know, I'm electrifying tonight because I'm a live girl, and I lived through some things that most people mentally, emotionally wouldn't even think to go another day. I get daily calls from people all over the world who suffer from suicidal thoughts, heartache, pain. I just can't go on living like this. They can't keep doing us like this. I didn't do anything to anybody. Why do I have to live this? It matters anymore. These are the cries and the woes that I'm hearing from people, and I want to encourage you. Life goes on, and you are special. You don't have to quit on you if others have quit. Just see through those dreams that you want to do. And when you think that you need someone else to hold you up, look down inside yourself and look back in life and see for real who those people have been that have been in your life. And you see a consistent person that's been there from day one, that's who you serve. That's who you give your time to. That's who you fall in your strength. You know, you find your strength in. Call them up. That's why it's important for us to stay in communication with each other. Falling out with each other because of pettiness and greed and hatred and differences. Come on, guys. The world is
watching. And jealousy.
And jealousy. Come on, G. Girl, this ain't
I'm going to right now. And accusing. Yeah, just a couple. Well, about 2 months ago, but I'm not going to say her name, she accused me of being a liar, and I didn't answer my phone. Okay, well, I'm having some problems right there with my charger.
Mm-hmm.
And I tried to kill her.
Mm-hmm. So nobody got time for nobody else, right?
Right, so she must... And I told her she blocked me right there on Facebook. She said I was a liar, called me a liar again. So she must have me on her contact, and because she blocked me on her phone. So she had me on her contact. I said, okay, I wait till she cool off, and I'm going to let her stay where she at.
Right.
I still love her, but I'm going to let her stay where she at right now.
Right. And sometimes be like that.
Girl,
we live and
we've been
learn.
Like the chat ever since 2009.
Girl, we live and we learn. That's just the truth.
Yes, we do.
Hey, guys, the number is still the same. It's 323-642-1569. You're listening to Mind Blowing Decisions, where we talk about life, Love and Relationship. And I am your host tonight, Michonne L. As always, I'm so enthused with you and want you to succeed. And not only I want you, we want you to. Gigi wants you to. Faces of Success wants you to be a face of success. So dig down deep within
right.
yourself and take a good stand and a good look at yourself and know that you are worthy to have the best life you can think and possibly have. For real. I think people think they stop dreaming, Gigi.
Mm-hmm.
They stop dreaming. We had an interview with the mom and daughter who was autistic, who have made all these millions of dollars right from her bedroom, right in her house, her mother's house. Teenage girl hadn't even graduated and been cheated out of her graduation because of the pandemic. And she was encouraging enough and such a business boss, young woman, entrepreneur, that she took her mother on this beautiful vacation that was much needed because they had been through so much with just finding herself and dealing with the emotional breakdowns and the emotional spiritual journeys that they had to go through as a family. And not only was it the daughter that was that had been affected by having a disability, autistic, some form of autistic disability, but the mom had four children, all four of her children with four different autistic diseases. And no one can give us any answers, but this mom and this dad have been holding it down and holding their family down and encouraged through their life, through their experiences and their journey of how to love one another during this time and just really just find strength and love with each other. And that's what this time should be reflecting. We shouldn't hear a lot of death in houses and people, you know, falling out with each other because we have been given such a special gift to be with each other right now, you know, with so many people again passing and us saying goodbye to many, many loved ones and not being able to be there anymore and say goodbye to them directly or to celebrate their life or either their accomplishments or their homegoing for those that celebrate that, you know. And so it's almost like the Bible coming alive and let Jesus saying, let the dead bury the dead. If you're going to pick up your cross daily and follow me, walk away from everything right now and do so. And there was a couple of disciples that could not do that who said, hey, Jesus, let me go and do this before, hey, I just drop everything. I got a family, you know, back home. You know, I got a wife and kids, you know, a young wife, and she's, oh, my life. I just want to go say, you know, touch her one more time and be in her arms and her bosom and say goodbye to my kids. And they had the tax collector who was like, well, I just need to go settle some court, you know, some accounts real quick. And you had them who said, and he said, if you cannot take up your cross and follow, he said all you had to do was believe. If I give you a command to come after me and follow me, take up your cross.
Amen.
And that's what scriptures say. And so again, if anybody out there in the Quran land knowledge would like to converse and share any knowledge with that, we are welcome to have that conversation with you at any time. I will do some cross-references to see that I have had experience with being able to read the Book of the Mormons and cross-reference there. I've had some different translations, Hebrew language, and kind of knowing a little bit of Latin and, you know, just, you know, terminology, medical terminology, have experience have taught me how to read different languages. So that's my background. But anyhow, everyone don't have that type of background, but I've been in so many different industries that I do know different languages and written language and so on. And I'm excited to be able to share my knowledge and share my expertise with those that are interested in that type of dialect. But now we've talked about what scriptures say concerning these times. And I don't want nobody calling them crazy. You know, that
right.
You, that
no
more.
Crazy.
We ain't no questions, no crazy questions. We just want to talk facts. Mm-hmm. Let's talk the facts that you know. We'll agree to disagree, and we'll state each
right.
other's, you know, intellect and let it and let the people continue to be who they are. Okay.
Because
just
if
like
you call
to be
crazy,
respected.
You will be blocked.
And that's a fact. That's a fact. So, listen, I love being able to share my energy, love, and light with you and my wisdom. I'm passionate about being able to help people. I'm passionate about being able to be in people's lives and them having a good report about who I am as Nishan. I'm not concerned about a title. I don't need anyone's recognition. I don't need anyone's certificate. I am who I say I am, and my knowledge and my experience here in the living world says that I qualify for everything that I tell you that I'm capable of doing. And for those who have to question those things, you're still questioning yourself. I understand. You just need to spend a little bit more time and, you know, the things that you're interested in and familiarize yourself. But second-guessing someone else and their abilities when you don't know their capabilities is kind of like, you know, it's like being jealous, and it's like, it's like you're not respecting the art or the artist and or the art. I don't know how you say the artiste.
Right.
whichever one is correct. but you know, I bid tidings and goodwill, and you know, and I, that's what I come to share. And I know that if you ever come in contact with me in any fashion. I have people calling me, you need to really be doing public speaking. This is way years before, of course, this coronavirus and COVID-19 fiasco. I would have people telling me I just, you know, the soothingness of the sound of my voice, so the laughter, you know, they miss it when they, you know, I haven't been around them, hadn't spoken to them in a while, and they forget how much joy that I bring them. And they respect me. They love me. They cherish me all over the world that I go. People,
so do I
ran into an abuse. Thank you, love. Mm-hmm. I got this lady who constantly calls me. She don't want to do no business with me. Out there in Tennessee, I met at a beauty shop, passing through, and on some business stuff, and with my niece and her and my nephews, my great nephews, and we were just out there visiting some things and taking an experience. And I met new people. I always, wherever I go, whatever state, city I go, I always introduce myself and make myself known and who I am and what my plans is and what I, you know, plan on doing. If I get the opportunity to come back into their city and their state, then we can do real business with each other and help them develop whatever it is that they're trying to develop for their community or communities and churches and nonprofits and so on and so on. And so we collaborate and we brainstorm, mastermind, and I'll be excited, right? I'll get to knowing people and having good people, running into good people and not crooks and thieves and trying to steal an idea or compete and, you know, all that comparison stuff. I meet good people that's honest and just genuine and just want to help. And it's flattering to who I am and to all that I bring to people. So I'm excited. Thank you, love. I appreciate that.
Oh, can I say something? I want to say something. To my condolences, okay, R&B singer icon Little Richard had passed away.
Oh, yeah.
And my our condolences go to his family.
Absolutely. People like that
and Betty,
is our family. Yes.
Right. And Betty Wright, she used to sing The Cleanup Woman. She passed away, too. And it's another singer.
And
I forgot
even
his
know
name.
That because,
but
you know, with
family,
all the stuff that's going on.
Condolences, yep, our condolences go to all of them, the family.
Absolutely. We're praying your strength. And
yeah.
We hope that your memories with, your loved ones remain strong and vivid as long as you need them to be. I know that my memories of my loved ones is actually helping me to find even more strength than I didn't even know I possessed. And I can face today because of it, because of that love, and knowing that they wanted me to be successful, knowing that they wanted me to succeed in anything that I put my hands and heart into. So I appreciate those who've made ways for us. Like you said, Lil Richie, we all grew up with him, and our condolences, Betty Wright, our condolences to their families. We lift them up high in esteem and love, and pray that that they, you know, that they grow strong together and
right.
Tribute to their loved ones. Yeah. Thank you so much, Gigi, for always keeping us in remembrance of our legends and our brothers, our elder brothers and sisters who have made such marks in this earth that can never be erased. We'll never forget you. We'll never, never forget you. We love you so much.
Never
Thank
ever.
Thank you for the tribute
forget
you have
you.
Left in our hearts forever. And we'll play your songs and we'll remember and dance to you forever. It is such an honor to be in this land of the living, girl.
Okay, everybody got this father, Little Richard to sing Tutti Frutti all the time. That's not true. I heard his album. The man, he can't sing. And I heard some of his songs. They sound beautiful.
Oh, Little Richard was authentic. There's nobody like him. I mean, he was an inspiration to Prince, who was nationally known to play multiple instruments, musical instruments, and be able to write music, girl, in his sleep and creative, you know, all his choreographing, everything. So I tribute, know the legends, and even when I believe there was an episode, I can't recall, or I don't know if I made it up in my head or what I thought should have probably happened in life as a tribute with Sammy Davis Jr. and Lil Richard. Did they ever play together? Did they?
I don't know.
Because they should have. I got to go back and look.
Yeah.
But if they hadn't, I think in my head, I have watched them in my head play together. It's just some kingdoms and kingships. I feel like the legends should have had a collaboration together. And I think those two were as phenomenal as they were and still are and always will be. It's just, you know, should have one of those things should have happened. It's like Natalie Cole, father, Nat King Cole, you know, it's like a tribute like that. I can see that in my head. But, you know, that's me dreaming.
And Natalie Cole, she missed her daddy so much. Now she's in heaven with him.
Yes. It's so sad.
Yeah, Betty Wright, right there. I loved her. I loved the clean up woman. I can't say.
Oh, yeah, girl, who didn't grow up on that? Girl, I remember when Richard Pryor and them was, you know, when that movie first came out. Now, that was a movie that all black people could be proud of, straight up. Like, I mean, Diane and Richard and, oh, my God, we talking about some legends, girl. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, seriously. And that music, that whole Symphony Heart. I don't know who all had their hands in that, but it was phenomenally always in the Hall of Fame of Nishan. Straight up, I can watch that one over and over. Such soundtracks.
Yes, peace and love to them. I still keep talking. I miss them.